You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week, the Getting It Right, the Children's Convention in Aotearoa report was released by the Monitoring Group for the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. The report claims that many children in Aotearoa face unacceptable levels of abuse, neglect, violence and racial bias, and makes three recommendations which the government can implement. The recommendations revolve around the rights of children needing to be at the centre of policy discussion rather than an afterthought, as well as greater resources and input from children for government programmes. I spoke first with Children's Commissioner Andrew Beecroft about the report and why we are not meeting our obligations under the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
I think the report is released in two contexts. The first context is we, along with every country in the world, apart from the USA, have signed the Convention on the Rights of the Child. It's a set of entitlements for children. We take it with casual disregard, I think, in New Zealand. It's not in our discourse. It's not really in our government DNA. And we need to be far clearer about the rock-solid foundation that provides for dealing with children. The second context is New Zealand children, how well do they do, people ask me? Well, 70% do well. Some of those do really well, world-leadingly well. But 20% do badly, and 10% do as badly, if not worse, than most Western world counterparts. So in the context of an international convention that we've signed, and in our own particular context, where there are children who really aren't getting a fair go, this report says it's time we took our obligation seriously and committed ourselves to all children flourishing and thriving. And that's really the point of it. And it's really advance notice to the government that as from April next year, we'll be producing an annual report card that holds the government to account.
We've been a part of the Convention of the Rights of the Child since 1993, I believe.
Correct.
Why do you think it's largely gone ignored by the government?
Well, that's a good point. I think ignored isn't the word, but we're aware of it, but it's put to one side. I think for a couple of reasons. Firstly, people say, well, is it really for New Zealand? Isn't it more for Bhutan or Somalia or Mongolia, where it can really be of use? And I think it's assumed we do okay with our New Zealand children. It's not really for us. I also think talk of children's rights sadly doesn't play very well in New Zealand. Maybe people think of an American concept of children suing their parents. We're really talking about entitlements. But for some people, the idea of children having rights, they've also got responsibilities, I might say, but it doesn't go down very well. And I think we're maybe in an isolated part of the Pacific, virtually on the edge of the world, and we haven't got with the game, and the international game is to take the convention seriously. So all those are reasons why perhaps it's not front and centre in the discussion and policy as it should be.
And how are we doing sort of in relation to other countries around the rights of children and that sort of thing?
Oh, I think, it's not doom and gloom. Overall, relative to other countries, the majority of countries, we're probably doing fairly well. But the point is, when we went to Geneva last year and got examined, it's clear that as a developed and first world country with wealth and a relatively high standard of living overall, we're held to a higher standard than maybe a developing country. And so we should be. When you say how well we are doing, well, Lachlan, there are some dark sides to New Zealand that we all know about. Highest rate of youth suicide, second highest rate of reported bullying amongst children, high rates of child abuse and neglect, far too high. High in the context of family violence and partner violence. So there are concerning issues for New Zealand that too easily, I think, we, if not sweep under the carpet, say, well, overall things are not too bad. I don't think we fully understand how bad it is for the 20 and the 10% who really struggle in New Zealand, and we've got to do better.
I then spoke with Jenny Cartwright from the Child Poverty Action Group about whether she feels better progress will be made by the new government in this area. Do you think the new government will sort of do more for children than previous governments?
We were definitely seeing some beginnings of some improvements after the Geneva meeting in 2016. We had some good response from the national government with the budget in 2017. So they're looking to increased tax credits for children, to put in other measures in place to make sure that children are lifted out of poverty. We said, CPAG said, that there could be much more done and there could be a more immediate response to the need for children as well. And we are really hoping and we are really seeing with this new government, especially with the new role of Minister for Children's for Child Poverty Reduction and Eradication, we are seeing a real commitment to actually making that happen and to making it meaningful and long-lasting.
And this new portfolio that the Prime Minister has herself, do you feel that a lot more will get done because Prime Minister has it?
I think it does. I mean, it just shows a real commitment. It shows that there will be accountability and it shows that they will be monitoring the changes over time. So whatever new policies they're implementing, and we're already seeing some really good ones. Like, for example, we've just seen an announcement that the sanctions will be removed from beneficiary parents who refuse to name the father of their children. That's $27 a week that a sole parent loses of their benefit every week for not naming a father her child. And that's an enormous amount of money for a beneficiary who doesn't really get a lot of support as it is. So we're already seeing things like that, and I guess we're just really hoping that there'll be other measures put in place to make sure that we're monitoring the outcomes for children and to know that ongoing we are actually reducing poverty and preventing it from reoccurring as well.
Finally, Chief Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission, David Rutherford, and I discussed the report and how more needs to be done to address bullying in schools.
Issues that have been raised both at the review by the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child and by numerous other UN committees, those issues have included housing, education, health, and bullying. And the point we were making was that while there seemed to be significant potential progress in the announcements of the new government around housing, health and education, we were yet to see the sort of comprehensive anti-bullying program that both the international bodies and the Commission, the Law Commission and the Ombudsman had recommended to the government.
And is bullying a particularly big problem in New Zealand?
Well, New Zealand's rate of bullying in schools is 20% of students. And the OECD average is 10%, and we're the second worst in the OECD, and we have been for decades. So yes, it's a very serious problem. It's acknowledged to lead to depression, anxiety, poor educational outcomes, and even suicide.
So nothing sort of really changed over there. I mean, if we've been there for the past few decades, do you feel this will change under the new government?
Well, that's what we're asking to happen. There are programs that work, and we think we need to accelerate getting them into New Zealand schools. At the same time, we need to focus on the well-being of children generally, but we should not lose our focus on the prevention and response to bullying.
So the last government, did they really do anything around this area, or did they just ignore the issue?
I think the fairest way to put that is that they thought that programs like Positive Behaviour for Learning were focused on bullying, but it's certainly now acknowledged that those programs were not. They're sort of wider programs focused on wellbeing of students.
And what sort of things can the government do?
Well, I think that the real thing is that we need to give schools the tools to deal with the bullies, the bullied, and perhaps most of all the bystanders. And those tools exist, and we need to get them into the hands of all schools. And it's the responsibility for taking them up is with the schools. The schools are responsible under the WorkSafe legislation for the health and safety of students at school, and they're responsible under the National Administrative Guidelines from the Ministry of Education to keep children safe in schools. So this is something that the schools should be well aware of, having responsibility for, and should be taking all steps to prevent bullying. But I would acknowledge that, you know, they need tools that are proven to work. There are, just as there are in family and sexual violence, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of programs that don't necessarily work. We need to do stuff that is scientifically proven.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.